How many of you know it's coming anyhow, so you might as well get ready? Come on, somebody. Yeah. All about being set free. That's what this whole big deal is going to be about, being set free. When I met Jesus in a very real way, I didn't just go from having bad thoughts to good thoughts. I went from being completely dead spiritually to alive. And I think sometimes when we come to church, we reduce it all to like positive energy or positive thoughts or positive this and good vibes and all this. But I want to let you know, what we're doing here is spiritual. And it has spiritual ramifications to it. In our spiritual lives, there's sometimes really high highs and there's sometimes really low lows. That's called life. And life comes at you fast and it hits you hard sometimes. You know, there are several times in my life, even though that I'm living free with God and He radically changed my life and gave me a purpose to live, my life has spiraled out of control on more than one occasion. On more than one occasion, I have been at the bottom of the bottom and cried till I have cried no more. How many of y'all know what that's like? I have experienced every kind of emotion over the years imaginable. Just last year was kind of a low part in life. It was just this low spot. I didn't backslide. I didn't do anything evil. I just kind of started existing. I just kind of like was going through the motions and hoping for something to change, but nothing was changing. And, you know, I was still preaching and teaching and reading the Bible and doing everything I'm supposed to do, but I wasn't living the freedom that God created me to live. And thank God, in one divine moment this past year, I keep talking about it because it's radically changed my whole 2024. And my terminology, I just start going back to a wide-eyed wonder and a holy curiosity. And my prayer has been, God, can you just keep me in this wide-eyed wonder and this holy curiosity? And can I just go back to living a set-free life? The one you created me to live. And the reason I'm telling you this, because there's people in the room right here. You are living a life with God, and it's going okay. But it's not everything you wished it would be. Am I right? You know there's more. You know that, like, if God really died for you on the cross and rose again, all that, you know there should be more, but you're not living it. And it's not there. And so I want to speak to you today. Or speak to you that between now and the time you go home to be with Jesus, or Jesus comes back, you think you might have a low point in your life. Does anybody here think that might happen? Does anybody live in the same world I live in? Right? Okay, this is for you. And it's about being set free the way God created us, because we live in a world of panic attacks, depression, anxiety, crippling fear. In the next couple weeks, we're just going to address some of these things. And not allow the medical community to create the narrative. Now, I'm not saying those things aren't real. Those things are very, very real. But in a church setting, we're going to allow God to set the narrative. You see, that's what I want to speak to today. I don't know if you know this or not, but you're in church. And we talk about the Bible and we talk about Jesus. Is that good? Yeah. We're going to anyhow. Come on. Yeah. Okay, so here's the big idea. Living in spiritual freedom requires us to do a couple things. Number one, confront brutal reality. Defining the problem is halfway towards the solution. And if we don't confront brutal reality, we're never going to move forward. I don't know if you know, I don't like brutal reality all the time. I don't. But it helps me when I define it here. And then we're going to choose to change, because many people in this room, you have bought into the lie that you can't change. This is as good as it gets. I want to tell you that's a lie. It's just not true. It's not true. You can live spiritually free. And last, we're going to create some holy curiosity. Here it is, John 8:36. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free. Yeah, come on, free. That means released from bondage. There's no restrictions. You're delivered by God with a spiritual liberty. This is what God created us for. And so he's saying here, okay, there's this freedom. If God sets you free, that's the first free. Then there's another one used here, and that is unbound, unshackled. I'm released to my full identity and my full destiny. God has a destiny for your life. God has a plan for your life. And most of us in the room right now, we're not living that to the fullest, but we're about to tap into it. Not by just one quick prayer, God bless you, be at peace. This is a process. It's a journey. I don't know if you know this or not, but most people have more difficulty walking in freedom than they do captivity. It's why most men and women return to prison when they get out. Learning to live free is more difficult than learning to live captive. Spiritually speaking, too. Because we get used to our demons. And we make friends with them. And they become our normal. But God has not created me or you to cope with life. He's called us to be free and live an abundant life. And many of us in the room, we're coping rather than trying to get free. And I want to invite you to no longer cope, but let's get set free. So we're going to jump in this week and next week, actually, into 1 Kings chapter 19. It's in the Old Testament. And we're going to talk about this guy, Elijah. And Elijah was this guy in the Old Testament here. He was a mighty, mighty man of God. Now, who's Elijah? Elijah, first of all, I want you to know, he was a human. He was a man just like you and me. But he was there at the Transfiguration. He did do a lot of miracles. As a matter of fact, we're going to pick it up in 1 Kings 19. If you were to read 17 and 18, he did all these miracles. I mean, huge miracles. He took on 450 false prophets, took them on in one. He poured water on the wood, and God still lit that fire. Fed by ravens, ended a drought with prayer. I mean, he was up there. He was a victorious dude. But how many of y'all know that after your biggest victories, we're most susceptible to our biggest defeats? Have you ever heard of a team going 10-3? I'm sorry, some of you will get that later. It's okay, you'll Google it, it'll be good, yeah. Yeah, too soon, yeah, yeah. I know of a team that went 7-0, and you know, yeah. Yeah, but see, after our biggest victories, we're susceptible to defeat. And so he's taking on all this evil, and he takes on these false prophets, but there's this guy, Ahab. He's a bad king. He's not a good king. And Elijah takes on this Ahab's prophets, and he wins. So Ahab's not happy about this. But Elijah goes, and so we're going to pick it up here in 1 Kings 19, verse 1. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything. Jezebel's his wife. This is another reason why, men, when you get home, you shouldn't tell your wife every detail. I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, wow, there's a chapter and verse for that? I was like, wow. No, I'm just kidding. But it didn't go well, by the way. Okay. He told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. So he tells me, he says, okay, everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed the prophets of Baal, false prophets. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. So she literally, so Jezebel says, I'm going to get him. She gets on Facebook. And this is, she does, she gets Facebook. She goes, what was his name, Elijah? Huh. So she gets on Facebook and she types this in. May the God strike me and even kill me by this time tomorrow. I have not killed you just as you killed them. This is what she does. She starts threatening Elijah through an Instagram post. That's really what's going on here. It's not even Ahab, the king with the man with power. It's his wife. And it's like, oh, typically it'd be like, who cares what Jezebel says? Who cares? You know? But this is what happened. Elijah, verse 3, was afraid and fled for his life. Now, many of us don't do this physically, but we do this spiritually and emotionally over stupid little threats and stupid mindsets. Okay, in a town of Judah, and he left his servant there. So he goes to Beersheba, a town in Judah, so he starts traveling, and then he goes alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. How did he go from calling down fire from heaven, ending droughts, healing, to now he's all alone? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. This is what's going on. Nobody knows. Nobody understands. Nobody appreciates me. I work and serve and I do everything around the house and nobody appreciates me. I'm just trying to hit you where you live. I go to church and I do all this work and nobody notices. Nobody notices. It's like God isn't watching. No, I'm serious. We do this and I might as well just die. Did you ever, you kind of keep one eye open just to see if anybody else is paying attention. Might as well just die. And nobody pays attention. Nobody moves. It's like, I'm serious. I might as well die. Right? Don't we do this emotionally? Does anybody? How many of y'all want to get free today? Like you got to tell the truth and shame the devil. Come on. Yeah. We do this. Nobody appreciates me. Nobody this. Nobody that. I might as well die. I'm going to go off being by myself. I've been here. Come on, God. Do you realize what I've done for you? Have you ever tried to remind God what you've done for him? Have you? I have. It's like, you know, it's about 14 months ago. And I'm going through a really low spot. And it's like, God, I've been faithful. I have character. I have an integrity. I've been faithful financially. I've never missed a tithe. I've given a generosity above that. I've preached. I've teached. People get set free. Overall, people like me. Right? Is this is what I get? Is this what I get, God? Is this all you got for me here? I might as well die. I'm going off by myself. I'm going to find myself a broom tree. The broom tree, and let me just say this. It's a shorter tree. It's like a juniper tree. And he found rest. It's a good place to rest from the sun. And I'm not saying, I want to point this out, that in the midst of our distress of life, depression, anxiety, fear, we need a short rest every now and then. I want to point that out. He found a place of shade. He found a place of rest. He found a place where he could find a respite from this world. We all need that. And God gave him one. But it wasn't his final destination. It was a stop along the way. Don't stay there. Don't live there. That's the point. But we got to be willing to confront brutal reality. How do we end up in dark places? How do we end up in caves? Later on, Elijah ends up in a cave. And a cave is a dark place. I've been in dark places. I wish I could stand up and say, if you just pray this simple prayer, your life's going to be perfect and everything is going to be fine. You're never going to have another temptation. And you're never going to think about any stressors or finances or anything again. That's not true. But in the midst of all this, we end up sometimes in dark places. And he ended up in a cave. So I want to help you confront your brutal reality today. I want to help you identify some ways that you end up in, you and me, we end up in caves. Y'all ready to get set free? Let's look at this first one. It's called life imbalances. Life imbalances. We just live this life of running. Mental exhaustion, physical exhaustion. Let's just try to keep up. Life gets imbalanced. It really does. I was with, this is years ago, we hired a consultant to help us get better as a church. And he was sitting in my office. We would meet together for an extended period of time. Like, we started twice a month, and once a month he's sitting in my office. And while he's talking to me, my phone is just going off like crazy. And he just kept looking at my phone, looking at me, and looking at my phone. And he was like, is this the way it always is? And I'm like, this is normal. And so he said, you can't keep this pace up. And I'm like, well, you haven't met me. Right? I mean, I understand that a lesser man might have problems. And then this was the day he pulled my wife in, and he just started talking to her about my schedule and about what I was doing schedule-wise. Now, I was still taking a day off. I was religiously taking a Sabbath day. I was religiously doing all those things. And halfway through him asking my wife how I'm doing, she breaks down. She's crying. Because she loves me enough that she doesn't want to see me live this way. So she's weeping. She's crying. And he looks at me, and my phone's still going off, and looks at her. And I'm like, what? I'm like, she'll get over it. I mean, you know, she usually does, you know. I'm being honest. This is truth. And I was like, yeah, she'll be good. She'll be good. And he looked at me. He's like, no, this isn't good. And my normal became so crazy. My normal became so whacked that I just didn't even know what was going on. I lost my bearings. And I needed somebody to look me in the eye and say, stop it. And when you're paying somebody $1,000 a month, you tend to listen more. Just a thought. The reason sometimes we don't listen to the input we get is because it's not costing us anything. And so we don't value it. You don't even value the Word of God because you're not invested into it. I'm trying to help you. You want to get set free? I can lead you to freedom. But you're going to have to take the final step yourself. And it's going to cost. And life just gets, we get overconfident. We get tired. And there's this verse here, Ecclesiastes 4:6. Better is a handful of quietness than two handfuls full of toil and striving after the wind. Come on, we live in this world that, like, if one donut is good, two is better. Right? I mean, if one piece of pizza with pepperoni, mushroom, and bacon is good, two is better. Right? If one day off is good, 2 days off is better. Right? if one wife is, no. Reel it back. If you're wondering where Natalie is today, she's serving right now, so do not text her. Yeah, she's serving in Murraysville today, and this is the problem. Let me try to put it this way. We're living at a pace that is doable, but not sustainable. And the first thing that always goes with Christians is God. Why is that? It's amazing to me that the first thing people want to cross off their schedule and calendar, I'm getting burned out, Pastor, can't come to church. I'm like, really? No, if you would just go to bed at halftime, you would have more peace. No, I'm serious, like, but we don't. We don't do this. We're trying to make everything sustainable, and it's not sustainable where you're at. What I'm cautioning you for is do not throw God out. Do not throw it out. Man, this is pretty cool. I'm not sure what just happened. Man, that's a pretty cool thing, yeah. Is that an offering? Good, you can go take it back. That's good. I mean, if it was mine, I'd want it back. I'm just glad it wasn't a mouse running down the center here. It's like, but what I'm trying to say is anxiety. Jesus spoke about anxiety, and it's being double-minded, and we're double-minded with our lifestyle. We're trying to keep up with everything. And we can't. That's why over this next 3 weeks, starting tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the next 3 weeks, we're shutting all social media off. We're turning it off. Matter of fact, I started today, and I'm already better. Turning off social media, turning off all the extras, simplifying our lives, and we're gonna do prayer and fasting. Starts tomorrow. And if you've never fasted before, I'm going to teach on it tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm going to do like about a 15-minute teaching on fasting tonight. I'm going to help empower you. Because Jesus said when you fast, not if you fast. Isaiah 58:6, if you want to be set free, fasting's a part of it. Fasting is doing without food and spending time with God spiritually. If all you do is you don't eat, but you don't pray, that's called a diet. I'm not saying that's bad. Just don't call it fasting. Okay? And we're going to simplify our lives and try to get things back, get rid of the double-mindedness and the tensions of anxiety. How many of y'all know that? Would that help? So we're going to do something. And there's all kinds of resources on our website to help you fast. This past week, I did a hard reset. December just kept coming. And then, and it was all great stuff. It was all really super good, not stressful, fun, family in town. First time in 9 years, we had all 5 kids for Christmas. I mean, huge, big fun. Lots of fun. But man, I needed a reset. And last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, just hit reset. I just had to slow my heart down, slow my life down, and just say, you know what? I need to just get back to what matters most. How many of y'all could use a little bit of reset? See, these 3 days coming up, they can reset. Well, I have to go to work. I have to go to work too. I work long days. I get it. But I'm going to reset my life and reorient it to what matters most. Fasting is this. Let me try to help you. A fasted lifestyle increases devotion, decreases distraction. Increase devotion, decrease distraction. And watch what God will do. That's what really it is. And I reset, and I'm feeling much better about it, much better about life even. See, this is the problem. Let me try to explain to you this way. Many of us, how many of y'all have gotten tired ever in your life? How many, you don't know what happens, but every time you come to church, you just get sleepy. I mean, it's just like, man, yeah. And when you're tired, you need a good meal and a good night's rest. Thus saith the Lord thy God. But when you start to get, like, weary, it goes to, or frustrated even. How many of you have ever been frustrated? You get frustrated, that's emotionally. Something starts to irritate. See, one's tired, one's emotion, and then you go to this next one, weary. Weary is when you're emotionally and spiritually tired, and then it starts to catch up with you physically. The next phase is discouragement, which you can't move forward because it's physical, spiritual, emotional. It's the whole deal. Let's prevent ourselves from getting there with good tensions and balances and checkpoints in our lives. Are you with me? Okay, so the first way we end up in dark places is life imbalances. The next one, let's go here. Isolation and loneliness. 1 Kings 19:4, he went alone into the wilderness. We go alone. We like, I just need to get rid of, like, I just need to shut myself off from everybody. Now, this isn't an introvert like saying, please God, not another Christmas party. This is like alone, I just want to push everybody else aside. Do you know what the first problem in the Bible was? Do you know what the very first problem in the Bible? It wasn't the sin. It was solitude. God saw man, and he was alone. That was the first problem God fixed. I want you to catch that. The very first problem in the Bible was solitude. It was isolation. It was having nobody to share life with. God says, I want to fix that thing first. But isolation, I mean, just face it. How many of you, the person sitting next to you, when they get alone too much, they get weird? Nobody has bold enough to, yeah, thank you very much. There's a couple bold people here. God bless you. Prayer and fasting. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock at worship night. Come on. No, we do. We all, our minds go. We get isolated. And we get separated from what matters most here. And this is it. We isolate. It's a problem. It's like when you're in a cave and it's dark, you know there's a way out. You just don't know how to get out. Right? And I don't know if you know this or not, but if in the dark, how many of you, I know there's big people in the room. This isn't kids' ministry. But how many of y'all in the dark and he gets fearful, every noise matters? Thank you. Two, three of us. Come on. The rest of you, yeah. Come on, there's bats in there. You know, like noises. You don't know what's crawling around in there, right? That's what happens in the dark, in the cave, isolated places. We start to make stuff up. How many of you have been really good at making stuff up? Yeah, we do this. It's because we're isolated. And see, don't allow self-care to move into self-destruction. Listen to me. There's this whole thing in our culture. I need some me time. I need me time. I need some time for me. I'm not saying you don't need some time to read a book and catch up. That's fine. But when it goes to I don't need God, I don't need those people, when the church people become those people, you got a problem. Just a thought. I don't need those people. I don't need that pastor. I don't need what he says. I don't need those people. Don't need a group. I don't need a worship night. I'm fine just the way I am. No, it's a dark place. You're pushing out everybody. It's a dark place. You can't live there, right? And see, self-care can become that. I need to take care of me. But wait a minute, what I need the most is other people in my life. That's what I need. So that's why we're going to turn off TV and social media and turn down those things and allow some God to return some holy curiosity to our lives here. Okay, how do we end up in dark places? Number three, ruminating self-talk. If you stay isolated in loneliness, eventually you're going to get to the place, verse 4, I'm no better than my ancestors. You start comparing yourself. And then here it is, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, and he's not appreciating me the way I'd like to be appreciated. Look what I've done for you. Do you know what ruminating really means? It's what a cow does. A cow eats, swallows it, brings it back up and chews it again, swallows it, brings it back up and chews it again, swallows it, and repeats. This is what we do in our mind with ruminating thoughts. We have a thought that's negative. We take it into our body, but we bring it back up. How many of y'all know that's gross? But we try to swallow the thought again, but then we bring it back up. And each time you do that, your thoughts get grosser and grosser. And we don't even realize what we're doing. We just have this self-talk. Most of the problems we have in our life is self-talk in our head. One person says something to you, you know, I showed up for tennis. I wasn't there for a while. First thing the guy said, he looked at me, he said, first thing, he goes, oh, Rick. He smacked me in the stomach. He says, wow, have you gained weight? I said, let me guess. You do not have the spirit of encouragement. He looked at me. And I go, yeah, you don't. I can tell right now. You do not have that. I mean, come on, like, one thought can go to one thought, and we start ruminating on the wrong things. And we have self-talk that's going over and over and over. And we're talking ourselves out of what God wants us to do and into what we want to do. We talk ourselves into craziness because Aunt Betsy didn't like your cinnamon rolls. Next year at Christmas, don't take cinnamon rolls. Solve the problem. No, I'm serious, but we don't. So-and-so didn't invite us, they invited somebody else. Oh, how come that group over there always gets invited and I don't? How come I'm always on the outside? How come this? How come that? That's ruminating self-talk. Are you getting this? I'm trying to help you today. I'm trying to help you. But if we don't stop the self-talk, we're going to stay in a dark place. Look what I've done. Look at all these things. Look at what. Look at me. All these things. See, we were made for community connection, but when we fail to communicate, we tend to ruminate on the wrong things. If we're not communicating effectively, we'll ruminate on it wrong. And we can't bring it to a conclusion here. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be getting into this in a couple weeks, of take every thought captive. When thoughts start leading you astray, no, just do what I do. This thought is not of God. I need to stop. God, help me take this thought captive and throw it away. This thought about, listen, whether it's in marriage or kids or finances or work or church or God, take the thought captive, put it aside. Do what I do. I literally say out loud, by the grace of God, would you help me, God? Please, because my thoughts are going crazy ways. Comparisons. Comparison is the thief of our joy. How many of you realize, how much better off you would be if you didn't have to go on Facebook and see what everybody else had for dinner last night? Has that ever helped you once? Has that ever helped you? It's like, oh, wow, look at that. That's a big steak. And all I had was a hamburger. Right? Look how dressed up they are. I don't even have anything new. No, what I'm telling you is comparisons steal our joy. And we got to stop making all those comparisons. I wish you were more like this person. I wish you were more like this. I wish we had this marriage. I wish you had this marriage. I wish our church would do this. I wish this. I wish that. Just stop it. We got to take those thoughts captive here. 95% of our emotions, positive or negative, are determined by how you talk to yourself on a minute-to-minute basis. I just want to give credit where it's due. Most of the things, not all, but most of the stuff that we're sharing over these next couple weeks, not the whole series, but the next couple weeks, out of a book, Out of the Cave, by Pastor Chris Hodges. Just want to just give credit where it's due. It's helped me a lot. It's helped me in so many ways. I just keep rereading it because it's just so good for my life. I want to stay out of the cave. I want to be free. But how many of y'all know you can't keep doing the same thing? Fill it out. And expect. Yeah. But Christians are the worst. I want to break some habits. I want to break some things off. And that's why we're inviting you to worship night tonight. I want you to come out to Murraysville tonight. This is your invitation. Worship night. We're going to be having them every Sunday night. Your church, Bridge City Church, meeting together. We're going to do it tonight. Worship night, 6 o'clock at Murraysville. We're going to pray tonight. We're just going to spend time with God. I'm going to share with you about fasting, about what it can do in your life, how you can get set free, how you can overcome in your life. This is what we want for you. And so then next week's at White Oak. The week after is going to be right here. We're splitting it up at different campuses. I'm leading into this next and last point. We end up in dark places because we don't realize what's going on is spiritual. You know, when Jesus confronted spirits, he called them by name. That's why you got to confront brutal reality. If you don't confront brutal reality, you'll never be able to go after it. You can't defeat something you can't define. And we're trying to defeat things we can't define. So today, I'm helping reveal, you're looking at all these things as your life. How many of y'all realize you have some life imbalances? Be honest with me. How many of y'all realize you have a tendency that can go to isolation and loneliness? Okay. How many of you ever had ruminating self-talk? Wow, praise God. This is going to help you. Now, I'm going to let you know, I'm not a demon under every rock guy. There's a demon under every rock. Personally, I think there's two. That's a different story. Just a thought. But what we're doing here is spiritual. And I'm not just trying to get you to be the little train that thinks you can and go up the hill. I want to address things spiritually here. The devil has no right over me. And listen, let me just stop right here. This Jezebel, if you're in church long enough, you're going to hear a message about Jezebel. Now, thank God I've never preached one. I'm not about to. Because there's all these things about Jezebel this and Jezebel that. First of all, there can't be a Jezebel unless there's an Ahab. So that unless there's a guy that's not taking his rightful place, that's the only way a Jezebel can function. There, just taught you. But I'll tell you what the spirit of Jezebel is here. Written is here. Took a little, made a mountain out of a molehill. Little wee issue, blows it up real big. Okay, there, you got it. But what I'm trying to tell you is what we're doing here is spiritual. There's a spiritual thing, and that's why I'm inviting you to read the Bible through in a year. There's no better time. In the back, before you leave, there's plans. There's 5-day plans, 6-day, 7-day a week plans. I'm right now doing a 5-day a weeker. I just every 5 days a week, because that way if I miss one, it's no problem for me to catch up. My Sundays are all, I get up, you know, early. I'm diving into the Word, studying other things. I can free my mind that way. But many people in this room, I am telling you this right now, many people in the room right here, you have bought into, you can't read the Bible through. You've bought into the Bible's too big for you. That's spiritual and you can't. And I want to tell you, I want to empower you today. I want to empower you that you can read the Bible. You can understand it. You can go through it. Listen, it's a lie of the devil that's telling you you cannot understand the Word of God. It's for everybody else. It's for smart people. It's for teachers. No, that has been done away with. You can get through the Bible. Do you know how you can get through the Bible in a year? I'm going to give it to you. You want to write this down? It's really good. You read one page at a time. That was good. Just like me and just like you. And so this verse in John 8, Jesus, right before the verse earlier, he says, "You shall know the truth." Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And most of us, as soon as you hear that, you feel condemned. You feel like, oh, I don't read my Bible enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to tell you, you can do it. I can't change yesterday, but how about tomorrow? I like checking off day by day. It just makes me feel like I accomplished something. It's probably like why I like cutting the grass and washing the car. At least for a moment, it's done. Right? Come on. But this word here, this word for truth, do you know what this word for truth is? It's the opposite of an illusion. And many of us in this room right now, we're living with illusions. We're living with wild thoughts. We're living with bizarre thoughts. The word truth means the opposite of an illusion. And we're fearful and we're running away from illusions. And how do we combat that? With the truth of God. Come on, somebody. We got to get, this is it. But there's a spiritual battle going on for your life. That I don't know if you know this or not. The devil, he steals, he kills, he destroys. He doesn't like you. The devil does not like you. He is not your friend. And anybody that wants to be the devil's advocate, find another place. The devil does not need an advocate. He has our minds. He has crazy thoughts. He has all these things. Is this helping you today? So this is it. I'm trying to tell you, you got to confront these things. There's a spiritual battle going on. We got to have a plan. Last thing is this. If I told you tonight at 8 o'clock, somebody's going to break into your house. Somebody at 8 o'clock, they're going to break in. They're going to steal everything. They're going to mess up your house. They're going to trash it. What would you do? What would you do? Yeah. Well, the first thing you said, well, I can't go to worship night. There it is, Pastor. You don't know. You helped me out there, huh? No! I was waiting for somebody to yell that out. Y'all missed your chance. Come on, somebody. Yeah. No, if I told you somebody's going to steal from you at a certain time, you would do everything you could to protect your home. You would call the authorities. Just a thought. You would arm yourself with scripture, with weapons of your warfare. Am I right? But we don't do that spiritually. 1 Peter 5, stay alert, stand guard. Your devil's going around trying to steal from you. If we know the devil's going to steal from us and we know he's going to take stuff, why don't we just make some simple precautions? Are you with me? Simple, I'm going to be there tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to do something I've never done before. But it's cold outside. We live in Pittsburgh. It is January. You have a keen sense of the obvious. We will put the heat on. How many of you think if you went to worship night tonight that you would be much worse off? It would be the worst thing you could do in your life. How many of you think couldn't hurt? How many think it might actually do something good? But see, we don't think that way. We think in terms of what's best for me rather than what can prevent me from getting stolen from. Are you with me today? So today was all about confronting your brutal reality. You're going to need to confront your reality. Say, God, by the grace of God, help me, God. Help me with my thoughts. Help me with my loneliness. Then you're going to need to make a change. This is the change. Choose change. Are you going to read the Bible through in a year? Make the decision. Are you going to go to a worship night? Are you going to fast this week? Are you going to do without food? Decrease distraction? Increase devotion? What are you going to do to do? Simple steps. And if we'll do this, I believe God is going to return us to a holy curiosity. If you heard something helpful to you today, just stand to your feet right now, right where you are. Just stand up. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for every person here. Lord God, help us live for you. Help us, Lord God, help us, God, not stay stuck and stay in quicksand anymore, but help us move forward and make good choices, Lord God, by the grace of God, not by willpower, but by revelation of God and who you are, God. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here today and you would like to have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, religion will wear you out. Religion wears you out. It will keep you running. A relationship with God will set you free and give you life. So I want to ask you a question today. Do you have a relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with this living God through Jesus Christ? Would you like to be a follower of Jesus if you've never prayed the prayer, if you've never asked him and made the choice to say, I don't want to live for me, I want to live for God? You came to the right place because that's why God put Bridge City Church on the planet, to help you get set free from all your stuff. So if you've never prayed that prayer, maybe you did a long time ago, but you'd like to today, and you'd like today to be a fresh start for you, with you and God by what Jesus Christ has done. I just want you real simple, real bold, just slip up your hand, say, Pastor, that's me today. That's me. Anybody in the house today says, man, I want to start this relationship with God. I want to do it today. Hallelujah. Anybody at all, to anybody else, just giving you one more chance. Don't want to pass by real fast. Thank you, Lord. Okay, here we go. We're going to move into communion time. And this is what we're going to do. The ushers are going to come forward so they can come on down. They're going to stand up here. And we're going to come out of our seats into the middle. Come down. You're going to get a cracker and a juice. And you're going to make your way out to the sides and back. So you're going to come down this aisle, and then go this way, this aisle, and you're going to go back. The worship team is going to lead us in a tremendous song. They do such a great job about Jesus. And I just want you to hold on to those two things. Just hold on to them. Then we're going to do it together. So all you're going to do is you're going to come forward, sing, let's remember Jesus, then I'll explain it, and we'll do it together. Y'all ready to have communion today? Okay. You lead us. Come on down. Grab it and move out the sides here.